It's time for Caffeinated Comics, a lively discussion and debate on comics, film, television, and collectibles, all fueled by the magic of Frappuccinos. Caffeinated Comics is sponsored by Chimeras Comics. Chimeras is your one stop for comic books, graphic novels, hero clicks, Magic the Gathering, and more. Explore the fantastic at Chimeras Comics. And now, here's your hosts, John and Steven.
Hey, this is Caffeinated Comics. I'm your host, John Clark. With me is 85% always is my co-host, Steven. It's been a little while since we were. I know last week, if you guys were listening to the show, we were all in the room, but that episode was we recorded a little while ago.
Yeah.
So we actually haven't even seen each other.
About 2 weeks.
Do I have a lot of books at the show?
No, because Convergence is going on.
And Secret Wars.
And Secret Wars. And
yeah, so I
have. I mean, you might have, like, Spider-Man.
Oh, Spider-Man's still going?
Amazing is.
Is it?
Yeah.
I thought it was one of those limited series.
That, like, it's like 17.1 or something like this.
Oh, that's the Jerry Conway, and I missed a couple of those.
No, this is a new one, I think.
Really?
This is, like, a Black Cat crime thing with, like, that purple chick.
And you pulled it?
Yeah, I think it comes up. I pull it for all the Amazing Spider-Man.
I might put it back.
Yeah, it's fine. A lot of people are doing that. I'd rather over-pull for people than under-pull. And yeah. Then Superior Iron Man.
Yeah, I decided to go back to Superior Iron Man because if you guys saw the post this week about the new Marvel after Secret Wars, it looks like Iron Man's going to relaunch. And I wasn't enjoying Superior Iron Man that much.
It wasn't good.
But I was like, okay, it's a 9-issue limited series. I can handle that. And I was Joe Pakovitz and I went to Mini-Con a couple weeks ago, and I got some old Iron Man. So now my Iron Mans go back to my birth month.
Yeah, see, and it's going to drive you nuts if you don't have that Superior.
It really does.
Yeah.
There was one moment I liked in Superior.
I like
the Daredevil issue I really enjoyed, and I was like, oh, okay, I'm glad I'm back here. And then it started to go off again.
Yeah, I like the Daredevil tie-in issue, and I like the idea of if Tony Stark was trying to just be a douche, how douchey could he be? And that extremist app thing was pretty
It was a good idea,
douchey.
And the moment I really loved in that Daredevil issue was that he uses that to give Daredevil his sight back, and he's like, oh, you still have problems with it?
Yeah.
And that,
it
I
makes
thought,
a good argument.
That
but
was
then
a,
they got wrapped up in this, like, teen abomination,
yeah.
And it's like, I don't care about this kid.
Right, and it's like, it's not even an Iron Man character, that's a Hulk character
yeah.
that you shoved in here.
And it's still going on.
Yeah, so I think when it comes back, it'll be totally different. New creative team and new number one, but it's like, well, let me just fill that
Iron
hole.
Man honestly hasn't been good since Fraction left.
No, but it was amazing when Fraction left.
It was.
Iron
it was,
Man's
was
one
great.
Of those books like Fantastic Four. You got to wait on sometimes a decade for a good run, but when that good run happens.
Oh, it's great. I mean, that was a great ride the whole time Fraction
yeah.
was on that book. I mean, it petered out a little at the end with that Mandarin thing. His like last
yeah,
arc was
yeah,
kind of
it seemed
fizzled.
Like it went on too long. But
it was like... Yeah,
it
was like
so
my
good.
Favorite monthly book when it was coming out, and it's like Straczynski's Thor was going on at that time, and I love that book. It's like there
yeah.
was a lot of good stuff coming out.
Yeah, this is not our topic at all, but
not even a little
it's
bit.
It's been a little while.
You know what? It's our show. We can talk about whatever we want.
That's right. Now, people that listen to us are devoted to listening to us.
Yes.
We don't have a lot of casual listeners.
No, we don't want casual
Everyone
listeners.
Everyone is listening to us now. You want to be here. I'm assuming you've all subscribed.
Yes, and you better have.
But we are here because this is one of our movie review podcasts, but we're actually a little late, whereas Avengers, we had everybody in the room right afterwards.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Today, we're talking about Mad Max Fury Road, and the reason we're coming to it later is this movie has built and built and built. I had no interest in going, and everyone who saw it came back blown away.
Yeah, I saw the trailer, and I hadn't seen any of the original Mad Max movies. And I was like, oh, cool, I'll go watch this movie. Like, I was actually kind of excited to see it and then just hadn't get around to it because, you know, Mexico and all this other shit happened.
Right, you were in Mexico during my birthday. I had a birthday and you were in Mexico.
Yeah,
and
my brother got married.
Yeah, that was a big week.
It was a big week.
A lot of things happened.
A lot of things happening.
Yeah, I turned an odd number. So really, your brother trumps my
You know, it's the first sibling, my second sibling to get married. So, you know, the first one was Gina when I was like 9. And this was the first wedding a sibling of mine
that
was
you could
getting married
at?
That I could drink at, absolutely. Yeah. And I got blackout drunk the first day, and I don't remember a lot of that day.
Yeah,
I don't know the last time I got blackout drunk.
The pictures I saw from you looked very Puerto Rico-like.
Yes, it was very Puerto Rico-like.
Puerto Rico wasn't blackout, though. Puerto Rico was a constant rum haze.
Yeah, Puerto Rico was more of a haze. This was blackout on the first day, and then managed to just maintain a drunkenness for the rest of the time, which was good. I did not get hungover. I was very surprised.
Wow, that's good.
But Mad Max.
Mad Max, yeah. I saw the trailer and thought, all right, we're rebooting another franchise from the 80s.
Yeah, we're out of ideas.
That I don't really care about. You know, and when I went to see Mad Max again, they showed that trailer for the new Terminator, and I'm like, yep, a reboot of a franchise that, honestly, growing up, I liked Terminator more than Mad Max.
Yeah, I think most people do.
And it was, yeah, it made a lot more money.
Yeah.
But I was like, yeah, all right, Tom Hardy I like, but I don't think I'm going to get to this. And then it was actually Chris Prunkle, who's been on the show a few times. We asked if he could make it. He wasn't able to make it today. But he went and came back, and he was looked like he'd been converted, like religiously.
Wow.
And then everything I heard was like, you have to see it, you have to see it, you have to see it.
Yeah, I guess I heard all the hype for it, and then I watched the movie, and then I think I watched a different movie.
Well, you and I have not talked about this movie
not at
yet.
All. Oh, come on. It was awful.
Really? You thought it was awful?
Yeah. It's like they kind of, I mean, like visually, I get it. There's a lot of cool, like visual things they did, but like it was like every, the longer the movie went on, the more fucking ridiculous it got.
Yeah,
it was like,
definitely.
It was like beyond stupid. And I don't know what everyone was so excited about other than like, oh, cool visuals. But like, what the fuck?
I kind of agree with you, but I really liked it. I agree with you that it was crazy.
Yeah.
I went to see it with Renee last night, and every time I looked over, she was mouthing, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
But it was so full of energy. It was like somebody ripped out their adrenal gland and wrung it out over 35 millimeter film. In the middle of the movie, I turned to Renee, I was like, this is what the inside of Beavis's brain looks like.
Yeah.
It's almost like if there was another episode of Beavis and Butthead, and Butthead would turn to Beavis and was like, hey, Beavis, what movie do you want to see? I want to see trucks and fire and hot chicks and smoke and people shooting it. And I want to see a guy playing guitar going,
yeah, like there's
that's what this movie was.
And I get like, I get the audience that this movie would appeal to. I understand it. What I don't understand is why that audience is everyone I've ever talked to.
Including me.
Because it doesn't, it's like if anything happened to anything in that movie, that thing exploded.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's, I like stuff like that, but this just didn't make any damn sense at all.
No, this is where I might be able to help you.
Yes, somebody needs to.
Yeah, you saw the right movie.
Okay.
What you're trying to do is understand it too much. And I went back this week and very smartly, at least one network is showing one of the Mel Gibsons. So I set my DVR to all the Mad Maxes, and I saw all three of the Mel Gibson Mad Maxes this week. And I realized I don't think I'd ever seen any of them all the way through.
Yeah.
I know the first one I started and turned off, and you said you did the same thing.
I got like a half hour, maybe an hour in, I guess.
Yeah,
up.
The first one is, it's a lot like Evil Dead, where you kind of have to be into the franchise to watch the first one because it goes so much farther. The first one's really just a biker movie.
Yeah.
And where you turned it off is like where the evil bikers show up, and basically the evil bikers just kind of like torture Mad Max, and then they, not really spoilers, because it's backstory.
The movie came out
in
79.
And it's the same backstory in Fury Road, is they kill his family, the bikers kill his family, and then he snaps, and he, like, kills each one of them, usually with a car. And then the second one is, and that, it's pretty much, it's kind of this weird environment where things are falling apart. They're all in the Australian desert. They're all Australian films. The same director has done all four. George Miller has done all four. So this
including the new one?
Including the new one. Okay. So this is his world. So, you know, Mel Gibson's been replaced by Tom Hardy, but it's really like a James Bond kind of replacement where they haven't rebooted this thing at all.
Right.
It's like, we're making another one, and we got a new guy, because Mel Gibson is batshit racist crazy.
Yeah, you can't put that guy in front of a movie camera anymore.
No, and I was thinking during the movie of like, even if he hadn't gone crazy, like, would he have done this? And I was like, I don't know. Because if he was Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
He's a little younger than Harrison Ford. But Harrison Ford, without Mel Gibson's craziness, he would be Harrison Ford. This guy who is known for doing these big franchises, both Mad Max and Lethal Weapon.
Yeah.
Which is bigger than Mad Max.
Right.
And, you know, getting older, doing more serious movies, but deciding to come back. If this was the Crystal Skull of Mad Max, I don't know if Harrison Ford would let them put metal shit on his face and tie him to a truck and drive him around.
Probably not. And you know what? Then you know what they could have done is like maybe Mel Gibson should have been the bad guy with like the skull mask or whatever.
Yeah, I think it's just a point where Mel Gibson was already not really acting. He was directing.
Yeah.
And then each one of his movies was getting crazier. And then they would pull him over drunk and he'd yell at the Jews.
Yeah.
and there ends the tale of Mel Gibson.
Yeah. You can't say like viciously racist things and then expect to have any kind of a public career after that.
No, not in this environment.
Yeah, because it's fucking even horrific.
Even cops are taking like paid leave of absences indefinitely. But entertainers are the one, because if you're in entertainment, if you piss off people, you're losing money.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so I don't think, but that was one of the interesting things about this movie was it didn't feel like a reboot. It even less than, say, when Daniel Craig became Bond. It was more like when Pierce Brosnan became Bond.
Yeah, they just kind of made the next movie and inserted new actor into the same role.
Yeah, and you didn't need him to be younger in this. Like, if Mad Max was 50 or 60 in this movie, wouldn't have changed the movie.
No. Yeah.
You know, this is not like the origin of Mad Max. It's not Mad Max Begins.
Yeah.
Which we kind of get in Mad Max 1. But the second movie, The Road Warrior, that was the movie where I was like 9 or 10 when that movie came out. It came out the same year as Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah.
And Popeye. So it was an interesting year. Weird year for movies. There were a lot of people on islands.
Yeah.
There were a lot of rocks.
Right.
So I didn't see it. I think it was rated R. There's definitely a rape scene in the second one.
Yeah.
So,
it was a bit of a rapey thing in the first one.
Yeah, they get rapey. There's a lot of like mutants and rapey and a lot of punk. And, one of the things I thought was interesting, the early movies are very original punk, late 70s, early 80s. A lot of guys with mohawks.
Yeah.
And football spikes gear, and football gear spray painted dyed black. This movie goes from punk to steampunk.
Yeah, this movie did seem very like fringy, steampunky ish. But it was like, and I guess like I don't know how much of like a believable aspect I was going for in this movie, but like,
yeah, you shouldn't.
They do a lot of things like running around on the top of cars and just standing on cars that are speeding down an unpaved,
like 100 miles an hour
desert. And they're, like, just standing there, like it's nothing.
Well, they're usually fighting each other.
Yeah, but it's just, like, the guy, like, rips, like, a part of the engine up, and he's, like, holding it above his head while the car is still somehow driving
and
down.
And flames are shooting out of the hole where he ripped it out.
Flames just shoot out of everywhere.
Yeah. Well, look at the cars. That was one of the interesting things about this movie compared to the original ones, was the Road Warrior, at least. Mad Max had no budget, and they basically drove a bunch of cars around and wore leather jackets. But the Road Warrior, at the time, was this design no one had ever seen.
Yeah.
And it pushed things ahead. And you could see it in everything in the 80s, especially stuff that came out of Britain. I mean, you could see the Road Warrior in things like Judge Dredd.
Mm-hmm.
You can see it in Dark Knight Returns. I mean, after the Road Warrior,
it changed like this aesthetic.
You notice in the 80s comics, every gang is a punk gang. Like, every gang is white guys with mohawks.
Yeah.
And I think that was partially to not be racist, because if you go back to 70s comedies, it's a lot of black guys holding up Spider-Man.
Yeah.
They go away, and every guy is a skinny guy with a mohawk who looks like a heroin addict.
Yeah.
And that happens until, like, the 90s. But that's totally from Road Warrior. I think the dystopian future, there weren't a lot of dystopian future movies being made. I think there's a ton of Judge Dredd
in
Road Warrior, and you can see it in Fury Road. And I think this movie takes that aesthetic, which was way ahead of its time in 81, and then goes, well, what can we add to that now? It's like, now we're past the age of hot rods and we're into monster cars.
Yeah.
So now, like, oh, I can make the wheels 20 feet tall and I can put a car on top of a car on top of a car.
Yeah.
And my favorite thing in the world in this movie is the truck.
The guitar truck.
Yes! That guy is incredible. There is a guy. I saw pictures of this on the internet before I saw the movie, so you've probably seen it. But there's a guy who stands on top of a truck, and he's attached by bungee cords to 75 amplifiers.
Yeah.
And he's playing he's playing thrash metal on a double-deck guitar.
Yes.
And every time...
And his eye sockets are...
I think he has no eyes.
He has, like, but they're, like, skinned over.
Yeah, he has, like, a bandana on. At one point, it gets ripped off. And you see everything really quickly. Like,
yeah.
You don't get a chance to study gross things in this movie. And it looks like he has no eyes. But all he does is just play thrash metal guitar.
Crazy metal while they're, like, driving down the desert so everyone has, like, music to listen to.
And his guitar shoots fire.
Because everything shoots fire.
Everything in this movie is rust and fire.
And exploding.
Everything is... Well, the fire is making things explode.
It's just, like...
It's nuts!
Yeah, but then it'd be one thing if it was like, I'm trying to think of like something to equate it to. Is like, well, this was also a crazy, over the top, ridiculous movie that I actually enjoyed, and I just can't think of one right now. But it's like this movie just is like, all right, so they're leaving this like this guy has this like little kingdom in the desert,
yeah,
right, and then they get this like truck and they're supposed to go get like water or bullets or something, which. You know, they talk about having a gasoline war, like in the opening in the movie, they talk like that's
right.
Like a reason for the apocalypse. So if they had gasoline war, no one has gasoline, where is all these vehicles getting all this gasoline from?
They're all hoarding it, and they're killing each other for it.
But they're using it, so much of it, just
oh, yeah.
to drive around like assholes.
True. Well, that occurred to me is that they spend... That's true. The Road Warrior really sets up that, like... that gasoline is the most precious commodity because they live in the desert.
Yeah.
They're like 100 miles from anything, so you need a car. But if you're on the road, basically pirates
will come
and attack you. Yeah, the first movie's a biker movie. The second movie's more of a pirate movie.
Okay.
Because, like, these gangs show up in other trucks, and basically they run you off the road, kill you, and then drain your gas tank so they have more gas.
Yeah.
but this movie... Everybody's driving giant SUVs 100 miles an hour and shooting flamethrowers, which do use gasoline.
Yeah, and that's, I guess, like, it's like, I couldn't, like, wrap my head around. It's like, there was a gasoline war and you guys are having a guy, there's a truck that's driving presumably just to play music for everyone else. And his guitar
is shooting gasoline.
Shoots flames, which need fuel, which is typically... gasoline. And it was just like, what the fuck is happening in this movie?
I think it's about income inequality.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, millionaires are just spending money, like, doing whatever they want while everybody else is trying to make it. Those are the people that have gasoline. They're loading their guitars with it.
It's fucking crazy.
It is.
All right. So then these Charlize Theron's character, like, drives out in the desert and then somehow teams up with, like, Beast from X-Men Days of Future
Past. Yeah,
I did not
recognize him until I saw his name in the credits.
Yeah, I know the kid because I saw it in the start of the movie. They listed him, and then as soon as I saw him, like,
I didn't notice that.
And then,
by the way, the way this movie starts is pretty crazy.
Yeah,
it's like it wastes no time in being crazy.
It just gets crazy like right off the get-go, and then like so they drive out into the desert to go get like supplies or something to come back, and then they betray them, and then they're going off to like you find out like rescue like this guy's like wives he's been raping to make white babies.
Yeah, I don't quite get his whole thing. Well, it seems like he's nuts, and that's something in all the Mad Max movies is that since there's no society, it's also kind of like a cowboy movie where like Mad Max is kind of like the Lone Ranger where he comes to a town and the town's corrupt and then he cleans up the town and then he moves on.
Yeah.
They're all like that.
Right.
And that's what happens in this movie. All of them are like that. So there's not a lot of continuity.
Yeah,
so you don't really have
to.
You don't need to be.
Basically, the guy
each one's
just, like,
a separate adventure.
This is the crazy guy who took over this particular group of people.
Yeah, and
he's like
a cult leader, lunatic. Yeah, and he's super into like making a lot of babies to expand his army and keeping the mothers milking and then bringing in new women to make more babies. And he has half a face.
Yeah, and he wears like a weird chest.
He's got
clear thing.
Yeah, he's got a clear chest that makes him look like he's got muscles.
And there's a very like the camera loves that guy. It loved zooming in guy's face as he's screaming, driving his car.
Yeah.
It happened like 14 times in the movie. They zoom in this guy's like face as he's driving towards the camera.
Yeah, and
it's ridiculous.
And that's something that it's just part of that world of like the way I look at it. Since there's no culture anymore, you can do whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah.
There's a guy who wears a bullet wig.
Yes.
In this movie, and I'm like, That's what he wants to do.
And well, and I get that, because it's like, I've seen it like Walking Dead and these kinds of things where it's just like, you know, if there's no rules, you're going to see a lot of people just doing crazy shit. And I accept that. I just couldn't get around that, like, this, like, internal logic of, like, we need the fuel to live. Let's use as much of that fuel to make things just blow up and be crazy. All right, so then they go out in the desert, and then they betray the guy, and they're gonna go find, like, the green place, which I presume is, like...
she's got all the new brides, like, hidden
she's,
in
like,
a,
rescuing
in a hatch.
These girls. Yeah, yeah, which, okay, sure, there's, like, hatches all over this goddamn truck.
It's kind of an awesome truck.
It's ridiculous. And whatever, we're not even getting into the physics of how the fuck
you
that...
You need to let the reality of it go.
Yes.
You have to put your head, like I said, you have to put your head in a Judge Dredd frame of mind.
Sure.
Like, Judge Dredd has that same aesthetic with the giant bikes and the zombie Judge Death and, you know, the apartment building that's a whole city. It's that level of extremism, but in the desert.
And I guess I have, like, a hard time with that, apparently.
Yeah, I can spend the next 40 minutes... trying to break that with you.
Yeah, and we'll try. But then, all right, so they're going to go, they're like, all right, let's go get the green place. Let's go to this paradise that where there's, like, presumably, like, water and foliage.
Yeah, they're more concerned with water than gasoline in this movie.
Yeah, and I get that, because at the end of the day, you can't drink gasoline. So, but then they're, like, they're going to leave. They're going out to go find the oasis. They got motorcycles, which are more fuel efficient. They're going to do the thing. And then Tom Hardy's like... let's just go back the way we came. And they literally turn around and go back the exact same way that they went.
Right, because he is the only one of them that knew there was nothing out there but more desert. The only place they could get
How
to
could he know
was
that?
That city. Because he's been out there for years.
I guess, but, like, there's a lot of out there. Australia's a
he's
big
like,
place.
He's like Aragorn.
Go find the ocean.
But they're in Australia in the middle of the desert. They
How did they get to the middle of the desert? No one lives in the middle of the desert of Australia.
There's nothing left but desert. Australia is mostly desert.
No, I know
that's
that.
Why they shot it there.
I agree, and I understand that. But how did these people get to the desert? It's not like Australia is this lush paradise now. It's a desert now. No one lives out there in the desert. So these people drove out to the middle of the desert to build apocalyptic society without gasoline and water?
What happens is, they explain this a little bit in the third movie. All the people there are Australian. They didn't come from other... They didn't
come
from the ocean and go, let's live in this desert place.
I agree.
They're all Australian.
But listen,
except Charlize Theron has no accent.
Agreed. But listen, there are people in Australia right now. And the 98% of the Australian people live on the coast of Australia.
Okay, but what happened was when the war broke out, when the apocalypse broke out,
yeah.
The city was destroyed first. And at the very end of Beyond Thunderdome, which is... in its own way, way crazier than this movie.
Okay, I'll have to.
That's the one. That's the one.
Watch this.
Oh, that's the one with Tina Turner as the villain.
And that I want to see. I mean,
you
sounds magical.
You want to see this? Mel Gibson has two different kinds of '80s hair in Beyond Thunderdome. He shows up in the beginning and he's got long hair metal hair. He looks like one of the guys in Poison.
Yeah.
And then at some point. And it's not really clear, but
I hope it's not explained.
At some point, this tribe of kids find him, and they think he's the chosen one because they have a painting of a guy that looks like Mel Gibson.
Yeah,
saying that he's the chosen one. But that guy had short hair, so they cut his hair.
Okay.
And he's got, like, feathered hair.
Sure.
Yeah. That one's crazy. But at the end of that movie, there's a plot of, like, that tribe wants to find the city. The same way that these girls want to find the green place.
Yeah.
They all hate living in the desert.
Yeah.
And I think they're all in the desert just to stay away from, like, the crazy biker gangs and the
armies.
That
are roaming the coast?
That'll kill you.
Okay.
So everybody's trying to be as far away from each other as possible. But they're always trying to find some kind of civilization. In this, they're trying to find, like, this oasis where like, trees grow.
Yeah.
And Thunderdome, they're trying to find the city. And at the end, they get to the city, and it's Sydney, and it's completely ruined.
Yeah.
It's like there's just husks of buildings. So what makes it think like Walking Dead is that when the apocalypse breaks out,
the
worst place to be. So in Walking Dead, they're out in the woods all the time trying to avoid the zombies and the crazy biker gangs.
Yeah.
In these movies, they're in Australia where it's just desert. So they're trying to stay like 100 miles away from everybody, but get as much as they need to live.
Yeah.
So that's why Charlize Theron wants to find the green place, because there'll be water and plants there. But the women that she finds say, oh, we were in the green place and it totally dried up because the soil's destroyed. So Max knows, like, well, you know, further out's not going to help you. The only, they said they had 100 days of gas in those motorcycles, and then that's it.
Yeah, but 100 days of, that's like 3 months. In 3 months, you're telling me they couldn't get to anywhere else except this hellhole that they came from. It just was like, as soon as they turn around, I like lost my mind. I almost threw my computer across the room. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? This whole movie was them leaving and getting the fuck away from Crazy McGee, who's running the freak show. And then they're just like, eh, fuck it. We've suffered enough in the desert and the one chick got ran over. Let's go back.
By the way, you just admitted you did not see this in the theater.
Yeah, fuck it. I don't care. I got money. I saw that shit illegally. Come arrest me.
Yeah. Well, I think it was the matter of they were talking about, like, they needed the green place. They needed the green place, and the only place Max could think of that they could reach was that he had this greenhouse in the city, and the plan was solid of, like, look, he sent every single warrior out to the desert to stop us.
Yeah, no, I get
if we sneak back, there's nobody there. And as it's proven when they get in, nobody likes this guy. So if they show up without him, they don't have to fight
the corpse.
They do not have to fight the people in the city.
Yeah.
So their plan was to get in the city, close up the walls, and take it over.
Yeah,
while all the warriors and the cars and their guitars that shoot gasoline are out in the desert. It doesn't quite work that way because
sure.
They hit each other in the cannon and then just blow each other up a lot.
For the second time in the movie, they hit each other in the same exact fucking
this
canyon.
This movie is about cars blowing up.
But it's like, I think they've made...
It's like saying, why is everyone in the Fast and the Furious driving so fast? And so furious!
But it's at least with those movies, like I saw the first Fast and the Furious movie, and that's another franchise where it's like, how on earth did America make 7 of these movies? Like, I saw the first one. I don't need to see. They drive faster in the next one. They're more angry. It's like, how?
One of the guys died and they kept making them.
But I just don't get why they kept making that fucking movie.
I haven't seen any of those.
Well, I saw the first one because I was like 14 when it came out. So it was like, or maybe I was like 16. I was just starting to drive. So it was like perfect. But then, like I said, when they were making a sequel, I was like, well, I saw this movie already. How much more could you possibly do?
You're turning into Lewis Black on this podcast.
I just don't fucking understand what is going on in our society. And then that's the thing. Now, all right, so let's talk about
people
this.
People love cars.
I agree. I love cars, too. My dad loves cars.
And this movie's all about, like, the most fucked up cars you'd ever see.
Correct, but, and you know, half an hour of that is great, but then it's just like there should be some kind of fucking plot or something. But here's the question.
There's not much plot in any of them.
I guess.
So, and
maybe that's like I should have gone in with like, you know, I should have been high or something. I don't know. But like, this movie's doing really well and people are really liking it, right?
Yeah.
What the fuck? Like, what are they seeing that I'm not seeing?
The design is really original.
It's a great design.
That's what
visually
puts it way ahead of Fast and the Furious, where Fast and the Furious is trying to be basically realistic.
Sure.
This is just out there bananas. This is the kind of crazy, like, Cabin in the Woods.
Yeah, but Cabin
like
in the Woods.
Like, the last half an hour of Cabin in the Woods, where everything
was,
just goes back.
But I love that.
That
was a great movie.
There was a moment after the sandstorm scene where they drive in the sandstorm and it just goes black and it goes black for like 30 seconds.
Yeah.
And in the theater, it was just quiet and black. And the guy behind me just started giggling because it was just
it was like that weird.
It's that crazy kind of awesome.
But it's like,
and I can usually be pretty intellectual about things. There's a lot of movies I don't like. I really don't like the Transformers movies. I didn't see any of the Fast and Furious.
Yeah, same thing. It's like
I need plot and character. This had enough character and enough plot to support it that I went with it.
And I guess maybe I just am fighting
the
current.
You are fighting the current.
And
some
I'm
of the
not
reason,
trying to. It's not like...
Some of the reasons are thin, but they have reasons. And I'm like, I will buy your reason. It also takes place in this heightened, crazy universe. And I feel like that's what you're having kind of a hard time getting into that world.
And I think, like, going into this movie, I only tried to watch, like, the first Mad Max movie. I checked out in, like, a half hour. I think going in, I was expecting, like, because everyone was talking about this movie, like, it was such a good movie. I was expecting this big, here's a apocalyptic future, which I like those kinds of stories. I think we're headed there anyway, so let's get a bunch of variety to see what our options are. So I like to see that stuff, like Walking Dead, like well thought out apocalyptic things. I'm all for it. I'm all for the post-apocalyptic
future. Okay, so you were expecting...
And I think I was expecting, like, just maybe a little bit more... hey, things are really fucked. We really need gasoline. We shouldn't be shooting it out of a fucking guitar on top of a goddamn truck riding through the desert at 100 miles an hour.
I think I figured out your problem. You thought this movie was going to be Lost. You thought this movie was going to be like, how do we get out of this apocalyptic future?
Yes.
It is not that at all. That's like thinking that Evil Dead 2 is going to be Night of the Living Dead. Or Evil Dead 2 is going to be The Walking Dead, where they're like, how do we get rid of these zombies?
Yeah.
Where Evil Dead 2 is just Bruce Campbell turning into zombies and punching people in the face and screaming.
Yeah.
And there's a part of me that loves that if it has the confidence to do it and doesn't undercut itself.
And we think that...
And that's what this movie does.
We're saying Mad Max does that.
Oh, it completely does that. And it does it at a such higher level than the Mel Gibson movies ever could.
Well, yeah, because I mean, they had a huge budget for this movie.
Right,
I'm
and
sure.
That's what I felt was that, as I said, it's George Miller has directed all of them. And I think he went into this movie with a big budget. I don't know who gave him this budget. It's a Warner Brothers film, but I kept thinking, who is the executive that's sitting listening to this pitch? And then at the end of the pitch, he goes, and you don't have Mel Gibson. No. How much do you need? $100 million.
Yeah.
Who do you want to play Mad Max? Bane.
Yeah.
Well, apparently... And apparently, Tom Hardy has no problem putting more metal shit on his face.
Repeatedly, this dude will hide his face behind like a metal, horrific iron helmet.
He has a big fork on his face for like 45 minutes.
And he like can't get it off. He spends like a half an hour with like the scissors trying to cut
the thing off.
He's
got like a screwdriver stuck in his head while he's in the truck. I like that. It definitely owes more to something like, say, the Clint Eastwood spaghetti westerns, like Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, where just everybody's kind of mean.
Yeah, but I get that, and I like those movies.
This movie is not about society.
And it doesn't need to be. I was completely, like, waiting for, like a plot to show up, and it never happened.
No, it's a chase. It's a chase
but
movie.
But it's like it wasn't even a good chase movie. Because it's like they were going to a thing and then they turned around and went back the exact same way. It'd be one thing if they said, all right, we're going to go off into the desert and we're going to pretend we're going to go find this oasis. Then we're going to take this secret unknown passageway back where they won't be able to find us. It's a dangerous road and there's wild people out there. But that's where we're going to go to get back and we'll sneak back behind them and we'll have the element of surprise. They went back the same fucking way. They just pulled a U-turn in the middle of the desert and went back the exact same fucking way. And they're like, maybe we'll be able to sneak past them. Not if you go the same fucking way. That is not how life works, man.
This is the moment where I should explain that on the podcast we now have a French press.
Yes, this is lovely.
So the coffee is much stronger than it used to be. It's good coffee, though.
It's great coffee.
I feel like you've got you have two problems with this movie.
Yes,
that you
I have a lot of problems.
You have
problems
a problem with the plan that Max comes up with, which, granted,
it's a dumb plan.
It's
say
not
it.
A great plan.
Say
no,
it.
it's not a great plan.
Say the words. It's a dumb plan. It's dumb.
It's not
stupid.
Great.
Let's pull a U-turn and go back the exact same way
that
we
canyon,
came.
Well, and that was the thing when he says, "Let's go back through the canyon."
They blew up the canyon. They filled it with rocks so you couldn't even fucking drive through it unless you had a monster truck, and they got through it somehow. What the fuck?
They have a monster truck.
Well, I get the monster truck. Monster truck driving over the canyon, I get it. They dynamited the canyon so you could not go back through. I don't even know how the other trucks got through the fucking canyon.
They show him climbing over. The guy with the bullet weight climbs over in his monster truck.
One monster truck goes over. The guitar guy, how'd he get through the canyon? He didn't have a monster truck. He had an amp truck.
Maybe he set the rocks on fire with his gasoline
Jesus
guitar.
Jesus Christ.
I feel like, yeah, so you have a problem with that plan, which, okay, the canyon was tactically good because it was easier to fight in the canyon.
I agree.
Than it was to fight out on the sands.
Yes.
Because they're constantly running from them from the sands. They have to drive into a sandstorm.
Sandstorms and all
Come on, the sandstorm was awesome.
No, that's what I'm saying. There's a lot of great visuals. This is a very, it's like pudding. This movie is visually pleasing.
This movie has lots of awesome in it. It doesn't necessarily have a lot underneath the awesome.
And I think that's my problem. I like my awesome.
No, but here's
and
the
I
thing.
Like a little layer of, you know, something underneath it.
But here's the thing. You liked Dredd, right?
I didn't see Dredd.
You haven't seen the Carl Urban Dredd?
I'm working on it.
All right. You might not like it.
maybe not.
Because Dredd has kind of the same amount of plot, where the plot of Dredd is that the Lena Headey from Game of Thrones, one of the Lannisters, the girl Lannister.
Oh, the blonde queen? Okay.
Yeah, she has black hair in real life.
I know, that's a much bigger improvement.
Yeah, she doesn't look good as blonde. Well, she was in that Terminator show that wasn't good. The Sarah Connor, she played Sarah Connor in the Terminator TV show, and she had black hair. And I think she's super hot with black hair, and like blonde, not
a fan.
Just doesn't look like she is real. But in Dredd, she plays like a drug lord.
Yeah,
that's on like the top floor of this building, and it's, you know, it's a crazy future world where the building is like a whole city.
Yeah.
And Dredd has to arrest her.
And he goes up
He walks in the lobby, floor by floor, killing everyone.
But I think that would be
awesome.
And
that's the whole movie.
Well, like,
that's what this movie is. We're driving these trucks, and we're trying to kill the guys that are driving the trucks and killing the guys.
I guess. I'll see
Dredd. There was a moment. It goes completely over the top. But there was a moment where they get these trucks that have these metronomes on them. Where they're like these crow's nests that just kind of swing all over the place.
Yeah.
So guys can swing down, reach through the roof and grab people. And then there's a shot where Mad Max gets on the pole. And it's a shot with him swinging across the screen. And behind him, trucks are exploding.
Yeah. And other guys are swinging.
Guys are swinging in different arcs. And I just said out loud, holy fuck.
Yeah.
Because it's that level of insanity. And I think it's. What surprises me is I think the beginning of that sets you up where it starts with him like looking out over the desert, which all the other Mad Maxes do. All the other Mel Gibsons, he's got like his car and he's like, I am Max and I live in this apocalypse and everything's terrible.
Yeah.
And then usually what happens is he's driving along and then other cars drive up
and
alongside him and chase him and then they fight each other.
Yeah.
And in this one, that happens and then they immediately flip him over, beat him up, drag him to the city. Turn him into, like, a blood bank and hang him upside down.
Yeah.
And then he breaks free, beats up people, and runs. And it's this level of kineticism, which I don't think I've ever seen. I don't think I ever saw a movie that moves that fast. This movie is so anxiety-ridden. There are times where the camera just shakes while someone's standing there.
Yeah.
It keeps you on this fever pitch of adrenaline the entire time. And people... So if you're going in for that kind of sensation, which is, honestly, which is why all of us see action films or horror films. Some of us like different degrees of it. Some people go in for just that. And for that, there's Transformers and Fast and the Furious.
Sure. Where,
like, people go, whoa, 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 and then leave. You and I are a little more subdued where it's like, who's the character? What's the plot? Okay, here's our moments where we have action, like Marvel Studios.
Yeah.
Or Indiana Jones.
Right.
Or James Bond is even... Actually, James Bond is a little too tame for me because James Bond, instead of having action set pieces 10 minutes like Marvel does, they have it every 25 minutes.
Right, they spread it out a little.
Yeah, and I tend to get slightly restless in a James Bond movie as much as I love them.
Yeah.
This is a movie where, like, it does stop. I was surprised it stopped.
Yeah, but it is. It's like driving a car without brakes.
Yeah, every now and then it stops and it looks around and it just goes, all right, who's dead? What's going on?
Yeah.
Who's okay? Now where are we going? And then they go and it immediately goes back to that speed.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, like I said, I don't know that I have the right mindset for it. Maybe this is a good movie, but I
see Dredd and tell me about what you think of Dredd.
I have to now see Dredd to see if I have the same
unfortunately, you missed
reaction.
It on Netflix. They took it down.
Well, I got a thing.
You know what? When they took it down from Netflix, I went to Best Buy and it's $7 on Blu-ray at Best Buy. And I was like, I need to have this movie.
Yeah.
And I was like, I was willing to not own it when it was on Netflix.
Yeah.
Because I didn't really need to see the extras.
Yeah, because it's on Netflix,
But as soon as it left, I was like, oh, I need to see this. And it's very much in that vein.
Okay.
Like those are the, I keep coming back to think comparisons, the Evil Dead trilogy, the end of Cabin in the Woods, that
moment
of Cabin in the Woods where like all the elevator doors open.
I thought that was hilarious.
And it's, That's what I thought of this movie.
I just didn't get the, I don't know. Yeah, like I said, it's like something didn't connect and I'm having a hard time explaining what I didn't like. But I just know that it's just like, I just don't, like I was like kept checking the time to see how much of the movie was left. Because I was like, how much more of this shit am I going to have to sit through just so I can do a fucking podcast?
The Road Warrior might be good because The Road Warrior is this movie, but in the 80s, so it's at that Indiana Jones pace.
Yeah.
So that's a little less extreme and a little less crazy because I felt like this movie, more than any other ones, like I said, the first Mad Max establishes the character and it's a biker movie. The second one applies like the speed and the punk aesthetic and like the souped up cars, and that's been a cult classic for like decades.
Yeah,
remember people in the 90s talking about how much they loved The Road Warrior. It's one of those movies like The Matrix where even though we're so far away from it, people just go, oh, this movie.
Yeah.
And then Thunderdome is just weird. Thunderdome is it had a lot more of a budget. It had Tina Turner. Mel Gibson was a much bigger star, so it was like it was kind of a Hollywood version of Mad Max.
Yeah.
And it holds together less well than Fury Road, where like Thunderdome every 20 minutes is kind of like, all right, let's do a new Mad Max movie now. And you're like, wait, what about the, and they do the same thing where in Mad Max, he goes to, the town is called Barter Town. And like Tina Turner offers him a deal to kill this guy. And then he doesn't want to kill the guy. I'm not going to go too deep into spoilers, but then he won't kill the guy. So then Tina Turner gets mad, and then she sends him to the Thunderdome to kill the guy. And then Thunderdome is in this movie for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Which is probably why it's called Beyond the Thunderdome.
Because it takes place after.
Yeah, and Thunderdome is this gladiator arena where he has a crazy fight where there's bungee cords attached to the dome, and they're jumping up 10 feet in the air and grabbing chainsaws and fighting each other with chainsaws.
Yeah.
And then here, the craziest thing that happens is, then he won't kill the guy that he's fighting. He refuses to kill the guy. You know, very much the hero. Like, yeah. I won't take this life. And Tina Turner's like, you broke the deal, Mad Max. Like, nobody knows his name. So they're like, then she goes, they like to rhyme a lot in Thunderdome. So she goes, break the deal, take the wheel. And they bring in this big wheel of fortune wheel of, like, your punishment.
Yeah.
And then they spin the wheel. And it's like, it says like death, dismemberment, torture.
Sure.
And it lands on Gulag. And then everybody goes, Gulag, Gulag, Gulag. And so Mad Max has to go to the Gulag. Now the Gulag is they tie his hands together. They put him on a donkey backwards. And then they put a giant clown head on him.
What?
And they send him out in the desert.
Yeah.
To, I guess, die of dehydration from sweating inside a clown head.
Okay. Is it like a Gulag, like a Russian prison?
Yes. I thought they were sending him to the prison. They don't.
All right. Maybe they forgot what that word meant.
Maybe. It is the apocalypse.
Yeah.
But that was one of those movies, and I was like three movies in at that point, and I knew Thunderdome wasn't great. I was like, that's what we do.
Yeah.
And so I guess the reason is that every town you run to has their own crazy rules.
Yeah.
Which don't have to make sense and don't need explanation.
It all takes place in Australia.
Yeah. And it's because nobody can leave Australia because there's no boats anymore unless somebody makes a raft and goes out on the ocean and dies.
Yeah.
Like it's, you know, we're back to the Stone Age, except we still have some cars around. So when I saw that scene in Thunderdome, I was like, okay, so the idea is you come to this town and whoever's the king of this town is like, I decided everyone will have one foot.
Yeah.
And you just go, all right, you don't spend a lot of time going, why?
Yeah.
Well, what's your motivation for 1 foot?
They're just crazy.
What happened to 2 feet? Yeah, and when I saw this town, it was like, okay, you have that added to the crazy chases of the Road Warrior and going, and George Miller coming back to his world of like, after 25 years of like, what more do you want to do in this world? He's like, let me see how much I can crank this.
Yeah.
Let me do an I felt like this movie was an extreme version of the movies from the 80s of like, now I have a bigger budget.
Effects are a lot better.
I have CG.
Yeah.
Like,
what else can I do?
Like, they couldn't show that town with the cliff face and the water. You know, they didn't do that in the 80s. Like, Thunderdome is like a street in a Thunderdome.
Yeah.
And Tina Turner just standing on top of a Thunderdome.
Right, and that's like, I get, like, you know, the big desert thing with the sandstorm, obviously, you know, effects and all this shit, and the guys flying around on the little sticks in the air. It's like with chainsaws, which, again, require fuel.
Yeah, there's a scene where they get into a swamp, and then there's these people walking on stilts that just look like the things they rode in the Dark Crystal.
Oh, my God.
Never explained.
Yeah.
And the idea is that society is so broken and so fractured and so spread out that, like, you're following Max. Max doesn't know what the fuck those people are, so you just keep going.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of that in all of the movies, and I think that's a part of the world, is that there's things that we don't have the time to explain. So we're just going past it.
Yeah, and that's totally fine, I guess.
And I do feel, I'm going back to the gasoline thing, I do feel that, like, that this is a town that doesn't worry about gasoline. Like, they have such a stockpile.
Then why weren't they sending people out to go get gasoline?
No, they were sending back. She was sending back the brides. She was selling the gasoline to the motorcycle pirates because she made that deal with them.
But they, the crazy ruler of Crazy Town, sent her out to go do something.
No, he sent her out. This is where I'm confused, by the way. He sent her out to bring back the girls. She was coming back to the town and then decided, fuck it, and made a left. And that's how it starts.
But I thought
she had the girls in the truck. She was bringing them back. And then finally she was just like, I'm not taking them back.
No, but
I don't know where she was bringing them from.
No, I thought she was in the town and they were like, go get water, gasoline, and fill this giant truck of yours. And she left. And then the little midget guy in the chair with the telescope said they made a left turn. They're going somewhere else. Then they go chase her.
I thought they were coming
her.
To the town.
No, I think she left the town in the beginning.
She was smuggling she was smuggling the girls out.
I get
out,
that. She was getting the girls out of the town.
And
from
she wanted to get out, and they finally gave her a truck that could make the trip.
Okay.
That's why she bolted.
Right, and she was rescuing the girls. That I understood.
But that truck also had everything in it, because it had breast milk and water and gas.
And that's what I mean. So, like, what was she leaving the fucking town for in the first place?
I have to see it again. That's something that I had trouble with.
Yeah.
I guess just to replenish their stock of gasoline. They had no problems fueling up all those cars.
But that's what I'm saying. If they had that much gasoline, they're using chainsaws as weapons, which require gasoline.
Yeah.
They're driving these huge trucks, which require insane amounts of gasoline.
Right.
And then, like, it's somebody's job in that town to, like, nail spikes to cars.
They were also drinking nitroglycerin and spitting it into the engines to make the cars go faster.
Yeah, and then were they spray painting their mouths? What was that?
They were spray painting their mouths.
It was like silver, but it was like crack or something.
Yeah, what I think it was, I think he was just lying to them, and I think he just found some old silver spray paint cans from before the apocalypse.
Yeah.
And he was like, hey, if you spray this in your mouth, you're immortal.
Okay.
And none of those guys were actually immortal. Well, I think he was just lying to them so they would do... They would risk their lives.
All right.
And go, then, well, it doesn't matter if I die because I'll come right back. Because the guy gets shot through the head with an arrow with a spear. And he's like, I'm not going to die. And he does die.
Yeah. And then where did all those, like, pasty white people come from? Were those, like, how did they explain that? Were they just, like,
Renee was thinking those were that guy's kids.
There was, like, 400 of them.
Well, he keeps bringing in girls.
Yeah. Okay.
It's a crazy town.
I get it. Crazy people run crazy town. I understand. I just, like I said,
I'm enjoying this conversation so much.
So let's take a minute here. So this director, George Miller fellow, who did all the Mad Max, he wrote all these movies. He directed all these movies.
Yeah.
What else? Does he do any other thing, or is this just his only movies he makes?
I have to IMDb him, but he was supposed to make the Justice League movie in, like, 2008.
Oh, my God.
He was the one where, like, Armie Hammer was going to play Batman, and they had their whole cast.
They were ready to go.
The writer's strike happened. Mm-hmm. They couldn't do the rewrites in time, and then they lost their space. They were going to shoot it in Australia in the sound stages,
because
Australia also has these massive sound stages.
This is where Superman Returns was filmed a lot.
Yeah, and George Lucas made the prequels there.
Okay.
So, they have these gigantic sound stages, and he's Australian.
Yeah.
So they were right about to shoot Justice League. They had the whole cast. They couldn't do the rewrites because of the writer's strike. Mm-hmm. So they missed their deadline for the soundstage, and it never got made.
Okay. So George Miller just isn't, like, a crazy guy who made a couple movies in, like, the late 70s, early 80s that then They just like dusted the mothballs off this guy and was like, "Here's $1 million."
No, he has worked for other studios and done other things.
Okay, I'm just checking.
He's not like a maniac that's only done Mad Max. And
well, that's what it looks like. I mean, this guy,
it's like the George Romero of
car
chase movies.
Yeah, like every couple years they prop that guy up. You know, they give him $100 million and they say, "Make a desert chase car movie."
Yeah, but that is what he's known for. I think that I'm looking him up now.
All right. Well, I mean, like, I guess like that's like good. Here we go. This guy's like a real guy that does other things.
Yeah, he's a real. IMDb says he is known for Mad Max 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Anything else?
We need to go down all filmography. He's made 15 movies. He made Happy Feet.
Like the animated thing with the penguins?
Yes.
What?
He made both of them.
That's awesome.
He made Babe.
With the pig?
Yeah. He made Babe too.
Wow.
He made The Witches of Eastwick.
I don't know what that is.
Oh, that's a great movie. That's not well remembered, but Jack Nicholson plays the devil.
Okay.
And he's trying to create a human spawn, kind of like this guy in Fury Road. And so he picks Michelle Pfeiffer, Susan Sarandon, and who was the third one? Was it Gina Davis? And, like, he has sex with all of them, and then they find out about it, and then they're witches, and they get revenge on him with witchcraft.
All right.
And then he has this great misogynistic speech at the end. He, like, busts into a church, and he's all beat up. And he's super primo Jack Nicholson. It's, like, right before Batman.
Wow.
And he comes in, and he's like, "Women, were they a mistake? Or did God do it to us on purpose?"
Okay.
He's like, "Because if it's a mistake, I want to know. We could invent a vaccine and build up our immune systems." And it's like, yeah, you're not allowed to make that speech today.
Yeah.
Oh, and that's another interesting thing about this movie. There's a debate going on online about whether or not this movie is feminist or misogynistic. Because it's full of women that kick ass.
Yeah.
But
they're all
like hot models that are half pregnant and most of them die.
Yeah.
And Charlize Theron has one hand.
Yeah, I didn't notice until like halfway through the movie that she has like a little robot hand. And then like...
Well, they show her without it. That's when I noticed
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
I didn't notice her with the robot hand. And then when they showed
it... When they took it out, I thought it was like a armor gauntlet or something.
Yeah. And you notice she has on the outside of her door, she has a skeleton arm where her missing hand is.
Yeah. So then, like,
so that was
but
subtle.
Then she has like a robot hand that somehow works.
It looks like it just flexes. It's not like a hand. It's like a steampunk. It's yeah. like it's like worse than Ash's hand in Army of Darkness.
Okay, I guess. I mean, it's like that's like a little thing. It's just like, I mean, if there's a fucking guy on the guitar truck, it's like, well, fucking sure,
yeah. You really
have a robot
you
hand.
Really need to accept this universe.
Do I though? Because I don't think yeah. I have to.
No, but I feel like that's what's holding you back. Because you're like, there's a lot of awesome action. The designs are cool. Yeah, it's pretty funny. But like, why do they have to have guitars that shoot gasoline? I'm like, because they do.
I guess. I don't know, yeah. man.
And that was a funny thing about the girls was when they showed Charlize Theron, she shaved her head.
Yeah.
She looks like a woman in her 40s. And this was one of the most beautiful women in the world.
No, she looked great in this
movie. She looks great, but she looks like really real. Like you could see freckles in her face. You know, she's all dirty, beat up. She's missing a hand. And I'm like, wow, they're really not going for, like, the glamour look.
I'm glad that they
did. And then those girls come out of the back.
I know, it's just like, Jesus.
And they're all
like
a Clinique ad.
Models.
Yeah. Yeah, and then what was funny of them, the redhead one, the one that, like, likes Nicholas Holt in the movie.
Yeah.
She was driving me crazy the whole movie. I'm like, why do I know this girl? Why do I know this girl? I'm like, I must have seen her in something. Mm. She looks so familiar. So I IMDb'd the cast today, and I looked her up. I have not seen her in anything, but she is Elvis Presley's granddaughter.
Okay, there you go.
She's Lisa Marie's daughter.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, she's a girl that looks like Elvis.
That's why I couldn't
She's a hot girl
out.
That looks like Elvis.
Yeah, that's weird.
So, yeah. So, unsurprisingly, I noticed her.
Yeah,
This movie has Elvis's granddaughter beating up people on a truck.
Is she the one that gets run over?
No,
like
she survives.
And that's the other. They show like a pregnant
oh,
lady.
Oh, they run over
a
pregnant girl, yeah.
And it's like, well, what the fuck? I don't need to see
if
that.
If you kept matching Mad Max 1, they run over a baby.
In Mad Max 1?
Yeah.
I don't know if I got that far.
No, you didn't get that far. It's towards the end. That's kind of what flips them over.
Yeah, see, that's like, I don't
They do
shit
stuff like that.
That.
Like I said, there's a rapey thing. There's like a children in peril
and
thing.
And I think maybe that's what I don't like is like, I don't need to see, like, I get the apocalyptic, like, some nasty shit's gonna happen. I just, do I need to see a rapey?
These
I
are not.
Like, I don't know. Well, I watched Game of Thrones and it's like, me and my
brother.
Yeah,
I can't watch Game of Thrones.
Well, like, me and my brother were talking a couple weeks ago and we were like, yeah, it's a pretty rapey show, but they've been pretty good in the last, like, season. I haven't seen anything. And the next fucking episode, there's an attempted rape and an actual rape.
Oh, well, that I walked in on because I think I mentioned on the show, I'm addicted to Veep.
Yeah.
And I like Silicon Valley. So the way it's... Renee watches Game of Thrones when it's on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in here. Like, I'm watching something else. For a while, I was watching The Wire when I was catching up on The Wire. I'm either catching up on streaming or reading comics. And then at 9 o'clock, I go, all right, let's go watch Silicon Valley and Veep. And then...
you catch the end of Game of Thrones.
I caught the end of Game of Thrones a couple weeks ago where I was saying... on the show, when we were talking with Brittany about Game of Thrones, I was like, no, it's like so rapey and it's like just mean-spirited and cruel. I was like, I can't watch it. And I was like, oh, no, it's good. It's good. And I walked in on that rape.
Yeah.
And I was just like, this goddamn show. Every time I look at you, you're raping somebody.
Yeah.
How am I supposed to be friends with you, Game of Thrones?
If you keep...
You just keep raping people.
Yeah.
And you keep raping helpless people. It's not like it's a fight that goes badly.
Yeah.
Like, it's always they're always raping a girl that's like, please don't.
Yeah.
I cannot...
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not crazy.
I'm too far in. I gotta know.
They kill babies and unborn babies in this, but...
Yeah, and then the creepy white guy's like a mass serial rapist.
Yeah, well, that's what he decided to use his kingdom from. It's a rape farm that makes milk.
Jesus Christ!
The greatest thing in the world
this week. So I use my Audible account a lot now because I have, you know, like a 45-minute commute to work. So I've been listening to a lot of books. I read Pete Townsend's Who I Am, which I loved. It was really long too. It was like 19 hours, so it took me like a month in the car. And he reads it.
Yeah.
So it's like just Pete Townsend telling you stories about the Who, which are great. And he's like very angry. and he also got me into Remy Martin, which I never had before. And now we've been working on a bottle for about a month.
Yeah.
But and that's a really good book, especially if you're into the Who. But right now I'm listening to A Load of Hooey by Bob Odenkirk.
Okay.
And Bob Odenkirk.
Better Call Saul.
Yeah.
I just finished that.
Oh, you watched the first season?
Yeah.
Oh, we
can
talk about that.
Yeah, maybe I'll do that.
Yeah, I loved Better Call Saul. I thought the ending was a little soft.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
It wasn't bad.
It wasn't bad, but
it wasn't like,
a
big crescendo. And
yeah.
Actually, at the time when I was through that whole season, I was like, final episode, let's do a Better Call Saul. And I was like, let's talk to Neil Fisher because we talked to him about Breaking Bad. Let's do it. And then the last couple of episodes, like, okay, it kind of settled into a landing. But I do want to see season two.
They are doing a second season?
Oh, yeah. They were signed for two seasons right away. And season one did really well. Also, they just lost Mad Men and, you know.
They need something.
So, but he wrote a book, which is a collection of essays that he wrote. And if you only know Bob Odenkirk from Better Call Saul, he is one of the greatest comedy writers of our generation. He was a writer on SNL where his partner was Conan O'Brien. They shared an office in the 80s. And then he went and did the Ben Stiller Show, which was this amazing cult show that failed in 13 episodes on Fox, but it spawned Ben Stiller. It kickstarted Ben Stiller's career before Something About
Didn't
Mary.
Didn't Jon Stewart get a show out of that before The Daily Show?
Jon Stewart had a talk show.
Yeah.
Before that. No, the Ben Stiller Show was a sketch show.
Okay.
And it had Andy Dick and Gene Garofalo.
I hate Andy Dick.
Andy Dick went crazy, but he was good on this and he was good on news radio.
He was good on news radio.
90s Andy Dick, I can take. But Bob Odenkirk was on that, and they hired David Cross later. Judd Apatow worked on it. Gene Garofalo was in it, and it spawned all of them. And then he created Mr. Show, which on HBO with David Cross, which people of my generation and younger consider to be the next Monty Python. Have you ever seen Mr. Show with Bob and David?
I've heard of it.
You should really see it. It's great. And that had like Paul F. Tompkins and Brian Posehn and Jack Black and Patton Oswalt and like all this huge comedy career. And he went from that to movies, and he made two movies that bombed. And then he got a lot of scripts that weren't made, and he was thinking that his career was kind of over. And then he just got a call from Vince Gilligan, and he's like, yeah, my assistant is a big fan of Mr. Show. You want to read this part? It's called Saul Goodman. And then he's had this whole second career because of that.
Why does he sound like Bill Clinton?
That's what Vince Gilligan sounds like.
Does he really?
He really does. You have to listen. Interviews with Vince Gilligan are great because he's very self-effacing.
Yeah.
And he's always like, they ask him about Breaking Bad. And he's like, yeah, man, I thought it was going to suck. He's like, every episode, I'm like, we can't get out of this. We put him in a situation he can't get out. This is going to be bad.
Right.
It's like, and all my other writers were saying, nah, it's going to be okay. And I'm like, no, it's not.
That's awesome.
He appears in an episode of Community that's really great. But while Bob was writing all this stuff, he's a really brilliant writer. He's got like a like almost a John Cleese style to it. He's put out this collection of essays that are hilarious. And I've listened to the audiobook. He reads most of them. But then he's got like David Cross and Paul F. Tompkins and Jerry Minor, a lot of the guys that were on Mr. Show read sections. And he reads his recollection in character of being a friend of Phil Spector. And he said it was a great friendship, and he only shot me 3 times, and he only killed me twice.
Oh, there you go.
But he shot at me 152 times, so really, that's not that bad.
Right.
He's got the worst speech given by Martin Luther King, which starts, I wasn't expecting to speak today, but, well, Martin Luther King, and it's a black church, so what's going on?
Yeah.
And they're really short. They're like 2-3 minutes each, but each one of them is laughed out loud funny, and I have about an hour left, but I'm really loving it. So it's a load of hooey. And it's one of those books that, honestly, if you can find the audiobook.
Does he read it?
Yes. He reads most of it.
I could listen to that guy read out of the phone book. Yeah. He's got a great voice.
He's got a great voice. And, you know, he's a local guy.
He's from, oh, that's why he was in, he's from Chicago in the show.
Yeah, well, he's from, it's interesting. I heard he was from Naperville. And then in the book, he says he's from Berwyn.
Okay.
But I don't know if he's in character in the book.
Yeah.
But that's also why in Better Call Saul, they made him from Cicero.
Yeah.
So, but he's a Chicago guy. He came out of Second City.
Oh, no shit.
So he's
one of the, figure anyone who's big in comedy from Chicago all comes through Second City.
Yeah, well, Second City. Well, Chicago didn't really have much of a stand-up scene until recently.
Yeah.
You know, there was only the one Zanies. But now it's good because now we have, you know, we have stand-ups that come to town and come on the show.
Yeah.
Which is great because we didn't used to have that.
That's true.
But yeah, I would definitely... check that out. It's only about 3 hours on audio.
That's not bad.
But it's definitely worth it.
Yeah. If I had a thing like that I could listen to that on, I'd do that.
like a phone.
Yeah, one of these days. So I guess this wasn't this week, but nothing exciting has happened because I was in Mexico for my brother's wedding. It was a lovely ceremony on the beach. Which,
it looked nice. You were all wearing white.
Yeah, and surprisingly, we didn't get, like, sunburn because, like, I'm Irish, so, you know, I have two options, is pasty and burned.
Yeah.
But it was great.
Going back to Puerto Rico, those pictures are still on.
Yeah, those are.
Your back where you can see where your fingers stop touching your back.
Yeah, I did not do that this time. I definitely had somebody else help me out with the sunscreen option there. So I like traveling a lot, and I like going to places I've never been before. And I'm not super thrilled my brother set this, wedding in Mexico.
Why, for the cost?
Well, there could be, like, legitimate reasons, but, like, Mexico, I don't like to, like, simplistically vilify an entire country, but Mexico is a terrible place.
I haven't been to Mexico, but...
It's awful.
How does it compare to Puerto Rico, which is very close?
Well, Puerto Rico is, and here's the other thing. I've only been to Cancun, so basically... I like going to places I've never been before, and now I know I never, ever, 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 ever have to go back to Cancun. I will go back to Puerto Rico. I'll go back to, you know, Thailand or wherever other goofy place I've been. I will not go back to Cancun. And Puerto Rico is a place just like Cancun, same kind of climate, and it's not a super rich place. Right? There's like stray dogs and shit running around the street. But it's, to me, it seemed honest. It's like, we're Puerto Rico. Here's what our country's like. Here's our people.
Yeah. And where we were in Rincon is like a little town.
Yeah, it's just like a little town.
So it's like, so we went to little bars.
Right.
There wasn't like a big hotel or resort.
And this is probably my issue, is the big hotel, big resort, more so than Cancun. I don't like going to huge, big resorts that look like white people kingdoms where everyone who works there is the people who live in the country. They're all Mexican people. And then we're like the white people that come in, and then everyone treats us like we're royalty, and they're like constantly waiting on you. And then like the second they think you're not looking at them, they just look like they're having like a shitty day. And these people have the good jobs, like in the resort industry. Like these are probably better paying jobs. We left the resort to go like swim with dolphins and shit, and like I saw a giant sea turtle in the ocean, which was cool. But you have to leave to go do these things, and like you go out of the resort, like right beyond the walls of this resort, and there's like a kid in the street without any shoes on playing soccer with like the severed head of a police officer. It's just like a horrific fucking.
Did that actually happen?
It's like I wouldn't be surprised. Okay. That's what I'm saying. It's just like that's how.
Well, let's just be clear. That was hyperbole.
Yes, that was sure. Whatever that fancy word is. I guess I'm just saying it's like the obscene riches to poor like that is just insane.
Yeah, I've heard that about Jamaica. In the Bahamas. I've always wondered, you know, they say that industry needs water to thrive, which is why all these big cities are coastal cities.
Yeah.
New York, Chicago has the lake, LA, London.
Yeah.
But the islands surrounded by water, they always seem poor.
And I think
it's like they build a big resort and they bring the money and they keep the money there. But it's like, how come I was in Hawaii and Hawaii was decent, but Hawaii's a state. Like you're still in America. I've always wondered why isn't it that like people aren't building factories and companies in Mexico and the Bahamas?
Well, there are. I think in like Mexico, there's definitely like more industry. Like I'm sure like Mexico City is a huge city, so it's like there's a lot of major metropolitan areas. But I think a lot of it has to do with like islands. At least it's like they have to do so much. Excuse me. They have to do so much imports, and I think there's very few things to export except for. Like tourism shit. Come here. We have a beach.
Right.
Come see our beach, you know?
Right. But there's not a lot of things that grow there.
Exactly. There's limited. Even if they do grow things there, they have limited space because it's, you know, it's an island. So like I said, it was great. The wedding was awesome. We had a great time. It was awesome. Great, great, great wedding. One of the best I've ever been to. But Mexico is a fucking horrific place. And it's like, to give you an example, my parents went to Acapulco like 15 years ago, and you can't go there anymore. Because it's like you'll get kidnapped and sold into slavery, or like, you know, they'll behead you in the streets. It's like it used to be a touristy place, and it's just like, this is probably what Cancun's gonna look like in like 10 years.
That's what happened with Cuba.
It just gets overrun because it's like, you know, drug cartels or whatever are like pretty much running that country. So like I said, I don't like to simplistically vilify the entire place, but fuck Mexico.
So for all our Mexican listeners,
well, I'm not saying Mexican people suck. I just think your homeland's probably like it's like a terrorist state. That's all I'm saying.
You can continue listening to the podcast, but you can listen to it with anger.
Yes, you can listen to the 15% of the chance I'm not there,
or you can side with me, who has no real opinion of Mexico and has never been.
Yes,
and if you side with me, you can follow me at Not In My Book on Twitter, and you can like us on Facebook. I say this every week. We post most of our news stories on Facebook. Twitter is a lot of me talking to people and telling jokes.
Yeah, jokes are good.
Jokes. And I got into a conversation last night with a Kia dealer in Naperville about how I want to wear an Iron Man suit to work.
Yeah, why wouldn't you?
Because you'd avoid the traffic.
Yeah, and you'd be fucking Iron Man, so like that'd be pretty sweet.
Yeah, yeah. And then he asked me what Iron Man suit I wanted to be, and I was like, Silver Centurion. Come on,
yeah, absolutely. Shoulder pads. You
didn't even have to answer that.
It's a perfect suit of armor.
Yeah. So you can follow me at Not In My Book and get into conversations like that. You can like us on Twitter. You can listen to us on Stitcher. You can listen to us on iTunes. You can go directly to caffeinatedcomics.blogspot.com and listen to us. And in all of those places, you can leave comments and say that you liked something, and you can say that we're terrible. I would love it this week if you filled up every one of our social avenues with how much you hate Steven for hating Mexico and Mad Max Fury Road this week, because he's clearly in the minority of both.
Clearly.
And if you want to go to Chimera's Comics and argue with Steven about Mad Max Fury Road and Mexico, you can find him.
19 South LaGrange Road. Bring it on.
Caffeinated Comics is a Not In My Book production.
Take that, meatball!